The first reading today, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah and says that the word that comes forth from his mouth will achieve the end for which it is sent. Now we can see that in a couple of different ways, obviously. We have what God has spoken, and everything that he has spoken is going to happen exactly as he said it will. Doesn't mean exactly as we think it will, because we know all too often, and even just looking at how things have been fulfilled from the Old Testament over the years, the way that they're fulfilled is not the way that one might expect that they're going to be fulfilled. So we can't assume it's going to be the way we think, but it will be perfect, and it will be exactly what he said is going to happen. But then there is the other aspect of the word which comes from the mouth of God, and that is Jesus himself, the Word made flesh. He has, of course, fulfilled the purpose on earth for which he was sent and continues to fulfill that role because he is still the Redeemer. He is still the one who intercedes for us before the throne of God. He is the merciful one, and he continues to fulfill everything that his Heavenly Father spoke. So now it's our turn to be able to look at our response. Are we being obedient to the Word of God? Are we doing what he's asked us to do? Are we following what is? Do we even believe his Word? Again, we will all say, of course, I know that Scripture is the Word of God. That wasn't what I meant. I mean, on a practical level, do you actually really truly believe what God said in your life? Not generically. Not, well, yeah, he said this a couple thousand years ago and here's how it was fulfilled. I'm talking about the promises that he's made to you. And if he's not going to fulfill the things in our own lifetime, why do you think he will fulfill bringing your soul to heaven? If he can't handle these little things that he said he's going to do, why would you trust him for one split second to do the big things that he's promised to do? So that's what we have to look at. We've got this total confidence that somehow or another we're going to be saved and we're going to be able to go to heaven, but we still don't believe that he's going to handle things on our day-to-day basis. And that is something that's got to be horribly offensive to him, that we don't trust him, that we don't believe. We give him lots of lip service, but our hearts obviously are far from him sometimes. And so again, something that each one of us needs to be able to look at. But we also hear what happened in the gospel when the chief priests and the scribes, it says, seeing all these wonderful things happening, they were indignant. Imagine that. We're seeing people being healed. We're hearing people, we're hearing somebody speak the word of God. We're hearing children crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And we're going to be angry about it. Why? Regardless of whether it's their own selfishness, whether it's their greed, whether it's their jealousy, whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter. They rejected the Word of God. The Word that came from the mouth of God and fulfilled exactly the purpose for which he was sent. And he's calling us in a very particular way. As he went into the temple and cleaned it out, said, my house is a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. Well, in many ways, we can say the same thing about what goes on in the church. But each one of us needs to be able to look and say, I am the temple of the Lord, because that's exactly what St. Paul tells us that we are. And how have we made this a den of thieves? What is it in us that needs to be overturned and thrown out and cleaned up? That's what we have during this beautiful time of Lent, an opportunity to look at those things and say, all right, this maybe hasn't been the house of prayer that it ought to be. How can I turn that sanctuary of the Lord, which is my own heart, into really that place of worship? That place of the indwelling of the Lord, that place where I commune with him, Where am I stealing what is his and giving it somewhere else? Those are things all of us can look to. But we also have to be so careful to learn from the high priests and the scribes, because when they saw what the Lord was doing, it says they were indignant. They were angry about what was going on. When we see the work of God, do we rejoice in it? Or do we find all kinds of excuses for why we don't really have to accept this or that or whatever it might be? And so we reject it, we ignore it, we just let it be, because we've got our own preconceived ideas as to how God is supposed to work. As we've already mentioned, that's not usually the way it happens. How many things that have been fulfilled that God promised through the prophets, how many of them have been fulfilled exactly the way that you or I would have thought that they ought to be fulfilled, or that they would be fulfilled, because this is what God said? And then it winds up happening in an entirely different way. And so we need to get rid of those preconceived ideas and allow the Lord to work. Otherwise, what's going to happen is he's going to work in our own lives, and we're going to fight him. We're the ones that are going to be indignant, because the word of God is doing exactly what was promised, and we don't want it, because we have decided how it ought to operate. But isn't that exactly what the Lord said? My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. Obviously, his ways are perfect. So if our thoughts and our ways are not the same as his, then they're far from perfect. It's not God that needs to change to conform himself to us. It's obviously we who need to change to conform ourselves to him. That doesn't come easily to us. And it certainly doesn't come naturally to us, because the only way we can think and act in the way of God is supernatural. So it takes prayer. It requires really making this a house of prayer, this temple, who is our own self. Make it truly a house of prayer, seeking to know the Lord and his ways and conforming ourselves to them. Then when we hear people glorifying God, when we see the wonderful works that the Lord is doing, when he is cleaning our temple, and at least if yours is anything like mine, it needs to be cleaned. And I think of, you know, those occasions where the Lord has shown the saints, they've asked him to be able to see what their own heart looks like, and he shows it to them, and they're just devastated. And these are the saints whose hearts are so ugly compared to his sacred heart. What's mine look like? I wouldn't even want to know. So it needs a lot of cleaning. Unfortunately, I brought in an awful lot of money changers and whoever else, and I brought them right into my own heart. And I've made the temple of God into a den of thieves. So if God is going to work to overturn those tables and kick these people out, then instead of being angry that he's doing it, I should be praising him. I should be grateful for him that he actually loves me so much that he's doing this for me, because I can't even do it myself. I'm the one that brought the junk in, but he's at least the one who's getting rid of it. But if I'm in love with all my junk, then I'm going to be angry that he's getting rid of it. But if my thoughts are his thoughts and my ways are his ways, then I can rejoice that he's getting rid of that stuff, because I can see the good that's happening. I can see that he's getting rid of the sins and the rot and all the junk that I've allowed to accumulate. And he's cleaning house. It's exactly what needs to happen. Then we too, with the children, can say Hosanna to the Son of David. We can praise the Lord because he is turning this temple into the house of prayer that it's supposed to be, getting rid of everything else and filling it with himself. And if we sit back objectively and ask ourselves, isn't that what we really want? To be totally filled with the Lord? To do His holy will? To be able to know Him and know the way that He thinks and acts and operates so that we can do the same? It's what we all say that we want. But when it comes down to the practicalities, we kind of balk at it sometimes. So ask Him to clean house. And ask Him for the grace to cooperate. Now again, as I pointed out many times, we can look at it at the church, we can look at it with ourselves. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, cleaned out the temple the way a guy does, got rid of the big things in the middle of the room. This time He's sending His mom. She's going to clean the house like a woman does. There isn't going to be a cobweb left. There's not going to be a corner that's not perfect. So let her clean your house too. Have Jesus get rid of the big stuff. Ask Our Lady to clean the rest of it so that we can truly worship her Son, to love her Son, to be united with her Son. That's what she wants for us more than anything. And if that's what we want, then let them do what they can do, that only they can do because we can't. And pray for the grace to cooperate so that with a pure heart, that we can be that temple of the Lord. We can be that house of prayer. We can give the Lord the proper glory and honor that is due to His name.